Hello, everybody. Welcome to the MetaMoon podcast. I'm here with Rainbow Mars. She is an actress, writer, activist. She works for Mother Earth. She is a health expert. She has so much knowledge about wellness and how to stay healthy and live your best life and just so much great stuff. So I'm so excited for you guys to hear some of the things that she has to say. And we're gonna talk about some wellness stuff and some tips to just help you improve your life, and it's gonna be really great. So thanks for coming.
Thanks
it's
for
so
having
good to
me,
have
Emily
you.
Capshaw from MetaMoon. So excited of this new birthing of creation into the world.
Yeah,
proud
thank
of you.
Yes. Yeah, I'm so excited. So first, I want to start by just so everybody can hear a little bit about you and who you are. I always love to have everybody tell us the story of Rainbow. Well, I don't have everyone tell us the story of Rainbow, but the story of you. And as you would tell it, as if it was like a children's fairy tale or like the journey of your life thus far, give us the highlights. Give us like,
what is the story?
I mean, we have forever, honestly. What is time?
It began on a dark, rainy night in the Ozarks of Missouri. My mother had years of looking for herself in the hippie days, friends with people like Yoko Ono and Timothy Leary and Rosemary. They started a hippie commune in the Ozarks of the Wildflower Hillbilly, having left her high class Miss Hall School for Young Ladies upbringing and running a vegetarian restaurant in South Beach that Bob Marley came to. She questioned if she should have a second child out of wedlock. But she thought if she did have a kid, she would name them Rainbow. 2 weeks before this, I came to birth into the world, she thought, maybe I have made my life a mess and I will go home to my parents and get on my knees and ask for forgiveness. However, after the thunderstorm, the lightning in the teepee on the earth next to the olive tree, with lakes all around, I came into the world, and the 10 hippies on the farm noticed a beautiful rainbow arcing over the Ozarks of this farm, and there I came to be, Rainbow Harmony Mars. She kept her last name of her first husband, who made his money selling hash, and also he was a hairdresser for the Playboy franchise. My sister's name was Sunflower Sparkle, so I was very excited to be the lucky one. However, I called myself Jennifer Smith growing up. I didn't like to be called Rainbow Bright or Rainblow or the Bubblegum. I didn't really want to talk to people about my name or let people know that we ate plants at home and had mostly a vegetarian lifestyle. So I dressed very preppy and brought home the football players with as short of hair as possible. And my mom wondered why I could be such a rebel. I threatened to call the police when the pot smoking in the parties was going out of control. And I drove an Audi and got voted best dressed and most popular in high school. I moved to the islands of Molokai to spend time with my godmother, an Ayurvedic doctor who had learned from Gandhi's Ayurvedic doctor. She was one of the first women to bring Kaya Kaupa into this world. And I liked my godmother because she emanated the earth. She helped people and was very present, and also spent a lot more time in the ocean, kind of putting oils on her body, taught me how to be free in nature by taking off my clothes and bathing in the mud puddles and then rolling in the sand and then getting on a surfboard nude. Yeah, that's what my godmother taught me. She taught me that God was in everything, that anything that we liked about someone else or didn't like about someone else was in us. So when I'd come home from cheerleading practice and feeling like Tina didn't like me, she would always make me look within. I learned about when I got a brown recluse spider bite, instead of going to the hospital with antibiotics, she taught me how to cleanse the colon with kalimas and essential oils. I went back and forth for years between Molokai on summers to Boulder, Colorado, where my mom became the local herbalist. She dresses in fairy dresses and teaches people about healing themselves. I eventually went to Molokai High at 15, and that's where I really learned about God in the silence of nature and found my heart, because I couldn't just be defined by my friend clique. In fact, I spent lunches with the kids that had special needs and got beat up a few times for being white. My biological dad lives in Maui, and my godmother reconnected us when I was 16. At 17, when I graduated high school, I went to Miami, broke my foot there, also traveled around Europe on trains and planes and, do I say automobiles? But basically just really wild and free. And then I later learned when I came to Hollywood to act about the purity of the practice of yoga. And instead of like becoming a 21-year-old that would start going to clubs, I basically had already lived out that expression and was already into chanting, yoga, healing myself, and kind of getting out of modeling and acting. Well, I loved acting, but I didn't want to work out at midnight on a cup of coffee, ruining my adrenals and like caring so much about my outer form. I remember sitting with who would be my mentors, the founder of Yoga Works, Chuck Miller, with my overalls on and my broom in my side waist because I used to clean the floors at Yoga Works. And he said, "What are you here to do, Rainbow?" And even though I was, you know, getting some pretty good successes in Hollywood, I said, I'm here to learn to love myself so I can teach others how to do the same. I didn't know that people would come and ask me to do yoga videos because that's the last thing I could do. I was acting, but to be quite honest, a lot of the roles I was getting felt very one-dimensional. Like I was kind of like a model, like a pretty girl. And honestly, having done my first film as an Oscar-nominated film, The People versus Larry Flint, a lot of the sets I was on felt not as great as working with Woody Harrelson and Courtney Love and Milos Forman. So when I was asked by the 10th company to do yoga videos, and it happened to be in the islands of Maui, my favorite place, and it was like a good 20K, and it was like, you know, okay, why not? Take me to Hawaii. So I did those videos, and it was almost like the world thought I was a yoga teacher, and these videos became bestseller videos. I went to the Caribbean to have a child with an Italian count that I had met in the Boulder days. You know, being from Boulder hippies, the Italian count was the most outside of that world I could probably have, discovered. So I did, we did yachts and horse races in Italy, and kind of I had that life where it just felt very exotic or glamorous. And again, my mom and stepdad used to say, "Rainbow, it's not about the style, it's not about the surface." But that was also something that it was just nice to like feel, I don't know, be amongst operas and classical music and learn a new language. However, when I moved to the Caribbean, where he had been mostly raised and gave birth underwater naturally, I had found that that relationship wasn't all that it was cracked out to be. There was a lot of lies in it, and God bless his soul, because I'm so grateful for Jade. But when his mom said, you know, "Look the other way, no one gets everything," I realized that that was another point in my life where I could have chosen to like give up my soul or reclaim it. So I moved back to California, where I had already now a list of celebrity clientele. Kind of teaching yoga had become my day job, and I was so blessed to have, you know, the bread and butter from people like Rick Rubin. Sorry, thank you, Rick. Where I would teach like him or his fiance every day. I had, that's really honestly, after I had Jade, that was one of my consistent clients. And then Adidas came a couple years later, and they made me their global brand for yoga and women and empowerment. And I went to almost 30 something countries around the world and taught teachers from different continents. I was super intimidated by teaching my own yoga system called Ryoka, integration through the sun, to cultures like in Asia or in Africa. But I did realize that I had something to share. I no longer could afford going to 50 auditions to get a commercial. So I was really grateful that Adidas allowed me to travel the world, to buy a house, to care for my daughter, put her through school. And eventually, though, I found that I was traveling so much and kind of a little bit exhausted that I wasn't fully living for my truth. And I wanted to create a way to only work for the truth as well as myself. There's been a TV series I've wanted to birth, and I ended up stopping teaching for a period of time and just studying. And I finally started to study with a spiritual teacher that I went everywhere from the Incan, studied with the Incans of the high mountains of Peru, 15,000 feet, also Machu Picchu, Lake Titicaca, Karo, as well as the Dalai Lama with Tibetan Buddhism. I went to India a couple times. Khajuraho, started studying how to dissolve the ego, how to wake up spiritually through sexual magic. I started to transform the very person that I had come, and then service. So it's just really in the last few years that I have been able to understand the importance of our own inner transformation and service. And so now I am kind of seed by seed or day by day looking to transmit and communicate for the service, I get emotional, of Earth and God, if you will, that it's all such a precious gift to be alive, and to be able to share the truth is such an honor. So that's about my story.
Wow. And I will say that is the best. Like, you're obviously a writer. That was like captivating. Wow. That's a beautiful, beautiful life story. I feel like that really helps everybody get a sense of who you are. And wow, what an incredible journey thus far. And I can't wait for everything that you have coming next.
We're just beginning.
Sure, there's so much to come. I know, knowing you as well as I know you, I know that there's going to be, that journey is going to continue to be so amazing and beautiful, and it's going to be so awesome. So let's talk a little bit about health stuff. We talked about Ayurveda and doshas a little bit in our Play-Doh video that we just shot. So you have been studying health and wellness for a long time, and now you're focusing more specifically on aromatherapy. So tell us a little bit about that and kind of your background in health. And
sure. Well, my mom is an herbalist. If you don't know, she has about 17 books on natural medicine, and my godmother had written aromatherapy in the family and Ayurveda in the family. So I was lucky to basically have a homeschooled education mm-hmm. through two very incredible wise women. I used plant medicine my whole life. That's all I did. I never went to a hospital other than for asthma attack before five. I had a huge asthma attack from the immunization that a doctor gave me. And I was, actually the doctor asked my mom how, if I should be buried or cremated. And it was then that we really didn't trust the shots that they mm-hmm. gave me or children. That's why I didn't get immunized again after that. So, okay. So my godmother would use, obviously, you know, peppermint. I say that as if everyone should know. Peppermint and lemon to keep away the ants on the border of our home in Kauai. We used lavender when I had a spider bites or for zits. We used frankincense as preventative for cancer even. There's something in frankincense called sesquiterpene, which rewrites miswritten codes written in utero. Those are concentrated forms of other plants. So like one drop of peppermint is equal to 50 cups of peppermint tea. Mm-hmm. Whereas my mom, she more like would cultivate lavender under the full moon and make a tincture, and it would take days and we would have a tincture. I found it not as necessarily clean or as strong, but there was something really beautiful about the relationship with plants mm-hmm. and just healing naturally, looking for the root cause of what is making you sick and how to go back to the basics, which from my understanding is, it's always food and water, and then you look at herbal teas, and then maybe supplements, and then maybe stronger, like plant-based, like food-grade essential oils, and you could even go, you know, a little bit stronger than that. Think of things like external, start to go to Rolfing or acupuncture or things that are going to help heal acute conditions. And then finally, things that are made in a laboratory have obviously saved people's lives at some point, but that would be like at the end of the route would mm-hmm. be pharmaceuticals or surgery. That those are things that when you can't get to the root cause and disrupt the root of the disease, you would have to come from the outside. Okay. So that's basically my perspective.
Yeah. That makes totally sense. Yeah, definitely.
No, you were kind of asking about my story a little more.
No, but that's perfect. Okay. So I hear a lot of times people, their struggle with being healthier, what they see as being healthy a lot of times is, I don't have time, or I don't have money, or I don't have access to this. So if you were to say just a few things that somebody could do to just get started, somebody who doesn't really know much about health, or maybe they live somewhere where they don't have Whole Foods nearby, mm-hmm. what are some of the first things or the basics that they could do that could make a big impact on their health?
If you have a house or any land around you, stop mowing your lawn and allow, like, pull up your grass and allow the weeds, like, actually plant some dandelions, some nettles if you can, or any of the wild edible plants. The wild edible plants are the survivors. We have uprooted them, tried to spray them and kill them, and they even come up through the cracks of the cement. And a lot of people, they know five logos, but they don't know the five edible plants that are the best diuretics, kidney. So that, okay, oh, who's going to do that? Well, I'm just saying anyone can do that, and that's super affordable. But we think that healthcare is expensive, but really getting sick is expensive. Yeah. And so what we want to do is eat more simply from the nature. Think about counting 13 colors a day, not just the white and the black. And when we say black foods are good for the kidneys, for instance, but seaweeds and black beans and black sesame seeds or chia is not the coffee, not that stuff. So yeah. Think about eating that's why we can see, is to see color. And I don't mean the Skittles, I mean colors. Yeah. We want the chlorophyll in the greens, the anthocyanins in the purple, the beta carotene in the orange. We want to support our liver with these colors. And then also I want to say eat more fats. Like, yes, like eat your avocados, your coconut oils. And I want to be careful of the fried fats that are going to create free radicals in your liver. And I don't mean about my mom and her friends, not those free radicals, but anything fried is very toxic to our liver, which creates disharmonization in the body. Those are future cancer-causing agents. Mm-hmm. So be careful of the fried foods and the cooked oils that have been sitting around in a restaurant for a long time. Eat more salt, but I mean Celtic salt. So you want to get the 98 spectrum of mineral. Avoid table salt that has the minerals void of them. In fact, the vitamins that you might be taking are bought from the salt companies that have extracted the minerals. So that's, and also eat more sweets, but have it be natural sweets and eat your dessert first. So you want to eat your dessert first and then have whatever meal you're going to have, because sweet digests in 20 minutes and other things digest in about 3 to 4 hours. Animals digest in about 8 hours. So you only want to eat animals in case, like if you're anemic or it's a really good quality. We all want to get out of factory farming because those animals and the way they're being treated is so, it's so harmful to our vibration, to our feeling of health, because it's like death and sadness and scarcity and disease. And so we're taking on that vibration, and it's also one of the biggest contributors in carbon, carbon poisoning on our earth. So just do what is good for you is good for the planet. It's really easy.
Which is so beautiful and perfect that when we're in harmony with everything, it's good for us, it's good for the planet. And usually what we eat that's bad for us is also bad for the planet. So it's kind of when you start to focus on your health or you start to focus on the earth, then it goes both ways.
It's just I want to say, it's definitely easier said than done, but when you get into it, it's you have more options than before. Like, honestly, the most expensive thing we can buy usually is our gourmet meats and cheeses in our basket. So you can get an entire basket of greens and fruits and vegetables and really enjoy the plethora of Mother Nature. Yeah, what's good for us is good for the planet.
Yeah, it's so great. So you have a book that is also, it's part of your cleanse. So tell us about the book versus doing the cleanse as a group and a little bit about what that program is and how people can get involved with
it. Yeah, the 21 DSC or the 21 Day Superstar Cleanse. This is a book that came to me. Actually, I had first done this program through a doctor, Dr. D'Andrea, who was really cutting-edge medical doctor. His partner had healed himself from fourth-stage cancer at an OHI, a mega, you know, holistic institute where you go and you learn about live foods and you do daily cleansing. I had been exposed to live foods as well as macrobiotics and tried basically every diet. At the time I did this program first, I was eating all live foods. But going deeper into the different channels, the yogis call them nadis, we can unlock the stagnant tissue, the mucosal buildup or lineup that happens from actually eating any cooked food. So I do this program, we do this program because when I was sort of this hot yoga teacher, I could say that, I was, you know, probably making, I was making a lot of money like that. And I was having a really good time doing that. However, I care so much about the earth that I thought, how can we best serve the planet and really allow people not just to like do a Navasana pose for your abs, but really look at what you're eating. Do you want increased energy and more beautiful skin and to materialize or manifest better? You want to look within and really just shift what you're eating. Do you want to be toasted, dead, fried, cooked, baked, burned out? Or do you want to be live, fresh, beautiful, radiant, colorful, and like taste good? So it's really, people want the quick pill. The 3-week program, I used to call it a fresh start, is the quickest pill that I know to like reset your vibe. In fact, the summer of self-love, we're calling it restore your body to reset your vibe. We're bringing in all of these like spokespeople, like Prince and Moby, talking about how what is good for us is good for your art as well as your body. But as far as how it came was, I need support. Like I remember I was gonna have to go do handstands for, I was probably going to Adidas, like Dubai, and you on call, you've got all these photographers shooting you. You don't have time to like not be on your A game. And I was like, guys, can we all do this cleanse together? And it ended up becoming a book because the more I shared it and we put together our daily recipes, our inspirations of the day, our sort of knowledge of how to reset your kitchen, how to reset your life from the inside out. I was so grateful because giving is the real receiving. So all of a sudden the first program had like 20 people and that eventually became the book. And the goal is to have like 1,000 people four mm-hmm. times a year. We can all do our part to do what is good for the planet. And so I feel pretty good about like getting people to make that difference. And we can all do 21 days and it takes that much time to make or break it a habit. I think pretty much 90% of the time I hear around week 3, like, oh, I'm just going to do this forever. So it took a while to feel good. Some people are like, no, I got to get that pizza afterwards. But some people start to feel so good. You can see you're walking through a store and people's heads turn all of a sudden. Or someone said, I changed my hair color. I bought new clothes. Finally, people don't recognize me anymore. Like in a good way, like transformation mm-hmm. is possible. But, you know, one thing that really resonated with me is, we're going to be careful of who we kiss. Why aren't we careful of what we're going to put in our mouth and eat and then have to live with it for who knows long?
Yeah.
So do yourself a favor and give yourself a fresh start and reset your vibe from inside out. And this is not about gross sort of restriction. In fact, it's zero calorie restriction. It's eating all the plethora of abundance that, so that we can actually absorb the nutrients. And if you, reinvigorate, rejuvenate, become more energized. If you never cleaned your house, you wouldn't have time for the new. Mm-hmm. And so cleaning your house, like, or let's just say you had guests over every day and you never kicked them out. It's like too much in your house. Occasionally you gotta like reset mm-hmm. the dial. I'll also mention, we think of like taking a break from toxic relationships or chemicals in our cleaning products. Hopefully you're already on some plant-based natural way that's not hurting the bees, but we want to think of everything we're doing in our home. Our life in sport is affected by what we do in the kitchen. Our kitchen affects what we do in our bedroom, our bathroom, our home, our garden. That affects what we do in our life, sport, and the world. And we can be the change, and it takes all of us. It's actually really exciting that we know that that's how we can shift the fear and anger that we feel about the political environment, about the sort of what we're seeing on the news, what we're seeing with climate change. Like we can make a difference. And it just starts with us. Mm-hmm. Together, we can do this.
So speaking of climate change, what would you say is the most important thing that somebody can do? I know a lot, there's more talk about it. People are more curious and people mm-hmm. just don't know. So what would be something that you could say everybody should start doing?
Yeah, well, composting, period, if you have land, that's, or even the company that we work with, that I don't, is doTERRA, means gifts of the earth. We're working with agricultural, like indigenous people around the world that we're supporting the soil regeneration. Mm-hmm. So there's no more carbon in the air or on our planet than there was before. It's just that it's been dug out through fracking, through, you know, we're literally taking the oil out of the earth and then burning it through our cars. And so we have carbon poisoning on the earth. That is heating up the ocean. It's heating up the crust of the earth. It's making everything hotter. Through soil regeneration, giving back to the earth, composting, putting your food scrap, your minerals, putting worms in the ground, caring for the little crawly things, the bees, like the little ants, the little roly-polies. Those are the nutrients that become the minerals that are in our food. So it's real simple. It's like if your mother gave you $1 billion upon birth and you never once returned home and said, thank you, and here's some flowers and here's a meal, it's like, yeah, our earth is pretty compassionate and patient, but we have to find ways to give that back. So starting a garden, composting, eating lower on the food chain, not thinking about sort of the greed, the anger, but learning to live in symbiosis with our earth, learning to balance the doshas, walking on the ground, being conscious of tending and recreating the garden. Mm-hmm. That's really the best thing we do. And then doing the cleanse, for instance, that's that because mm-hmm. we're eating from the earth. And we are, once we're eating from the earth and kind of bringing in the intelligence of Mother Earth, I'll also add bringing in the plant medicine, like the intelligence of the earth, we're going to feel more aligned with her. And we'll also have the tools of what to do to make the difference. But I think of it simple. If 700 million of us, which is 10% of the earth, actually did soil regeneration, we could sequester enough carbon to keep our oceans from turning to acid. Mm-hmm. So the solution for carbon change and the acidification of the water is just going back to the earth.
Yeah.
Eating plants, eating colors. It's so simple, guys. Yes. People, I feel like exactly what you said. People feel like, oh, there's just nothing I can do. And so mm-hmm. I'm overwhelmed, but there is.
Mm-hmm. There's always we can all do something. Yeah. And it can start with small things every day. You know, it doesn't have to be people think I have to do all these drastic things and change my whole life, but it's just little things. Awareness, becoming aware of the problem and what you're doing to contribute to it. So
yeah, that's being good. In denial and thinking there's not a problem and continuing to spray the chemicals or continuing to eat a fast food burger and like driving mm-hmm. in your Hummer, you know, and just go, what am I going to do? Like, yeah, we're just not, I mean, we all have aspects of being out of integrity and unconscious. I throw away way too much trash and recycle. You know, they say reduce, reuse, recycle. Obviously taking your bike. But I just think that I have to add this, that a lot of us are focused on saving the earth and not on ourselves. If we focus on ourselves and saving ourselves, like meditation mm-hmm. and even just being healthy, it actually has a direct effect on all of these other qualities. Mm-hmm. So you don't need to get frustrated by what there's not to do or then depressed, because then we're in a cycle of like not being the solution.
Yeah.
But start right now. And again, like doing the program, doing the 21 DSC, the 21 day superstar cleanse, and being the change you want to see, or doing another plant-based program, or some, we also have like environmental recipes a day. Like what's one thing today that you can make your air cleaner inside, and et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But don't be a victim of this. Make the change.
Yes, definitely. Okay. So I want to shift a little bit and talk about, one thing, I feel like health is a big thing that a lot of people know about you and a lot of what we see, but one thing that I've come to know about you that not a lot of people know or talk about it as much is how ridiculously good you are at manifesting things that you're after. When you set your mind to something that you want, it happens. And it's, I don't know if I've ever known anybody that's so good at like, and it's not just in this kind of woo-woo way of like, just gonna like put it out there and it comes to me, which is part of it, but you really like focus your energy and go get what you want. So can you tell us about how we can all do that?
I mean, I don't mean to go back to the 21 DIC, but like every time I've done that and got off of like drugs and alcohol addiction and just get clear and like clean myself out from the inside, that has a vibrational shift. I also want to say like, knowing that you're worthy enough to mm-hmm. think about like nothing tastes as good as feeling good feels, taking a break from that, which is negative, to the point where maybe that becomes a lifestyle, because that's all going to be a distraction, is some of the greatest things I've learned. If you're really good at something, they'll find you. So the work is always, always from within. But as far as like some really tangible ways to manifest, every time I have needed to make a shift in my life or was kind of waiting for that contract to happen, all I could do was from within. Again, I would do my cleanse, but I would also clean my home. That's actually part of the cleanse, is like looking from the door, the way that the door opens, to the entire circumference of wherever you live. And I've lived in one-bedroom studios, I've lived in guest houses, I've lived in every sort of situation. I've had all of my things stolen several times. I've had to let go of everything a few times. And then, you know, having faith and going back to zero and reconnecting with myself, reconnecting with what it is that I was looking to do, that's always where it started. So I always clear space first. And for instance, there's a wealth corner in your home. There's a fame corner in your wall. There's creative family and helpful people. So look at the Bagua. You could download a Bagua of Feng Shui, but it starts with cleaning. So mm-hmm. like if something doesn't create joy in your life, let that go. If something is from an old relationship and you're looking to be in a new relationship, let that go. Are there two nightstands by your bed? So there's a ton of that, because it all starts with the foundation and the structure. Now that's basic dosha, like earth, water, structure. Where are you living? Where are you sleeping? Where's your kitchen? What's your fire like? What's the air? Is there room for there to be breath in your home? Opening your windows every day. This is a little bit about feng shui, so structure. And then it's gonna start with the sort of the creative visualization, which is the fire element. That's the element of sort of clearing the way. That's why like citruses, anything that brings energy. So that's something like exercising. That's when, some people say that's when you're manifesting. So having a practice, whether it's a meditation practice or it's some gentle asana practice or a more vigorous asana, that's my favorite, but maybe for you it's walking, exercise is helpful, using plant medicine. But I do vision boards. I would consider that creativity. So I like to focus on, I've done this many ways and I've been doing this my whole life where I'll kind of have like a broad scope of what I, allowing the universe in a way to write for me what we're going to co-create together. And the way I like to do that is looking through magazines and just words that resonate and pictures that resonate and taking those out and then creating sort of like this inner and outer realization of these are the things that my heart is resonating with. When I put them all together like an art piece, I notice that in a way I'm allowing the universe to write itself because I'm not super stuck on like this, what it is needs to be. This is a more macro and sort of open version of my vision, co-creating that with the magazines that I've received. But then I go a little bit more micro because there's sometimes very specific things like when Adidas, for instance, called me out of nowhere after I had feng shuied my house, after I had been, you know, sober for a few months. Not that I was, so I was sober. I had just done my live food cleanse and I had put all of these big wind chimes where I was supposed to put wind chimes. And then I did the vision board. And then after the meeting, I went home and I literally vision board my offer from Adidas. And I actually went to the number that they were going to pay me, which was actually really much higher than the offer was, but it was actually exactly what I made that year. And I even went to the point of like writing a letter to myself from them and seeing what it would look like. So I think it's important to go focus. And times when my energies, because I'm super like, I'm very air element, so I can write really well or things come through, but it's not always focused, which is actually missing the earth quality. So you'll notice people that are more focused, they might not have as many ideas, but what they do focus on one thing at a time. I actually just bought the book One Thing at a Time and Boundaries because I'm like, I gotta do one thing at a time. But that's how I've actually more deeply manifested is just taking the one thought, whether it's a new house or I want to buy the house next door. So I'm actually going to they might be watching this, but I'm going to like take a picture of that house and just like literally put the tree house and the tree and the teepee on the land and the pool there. Because if we can't see it, it can't actually come into existence. So yeah, I want to go into a couple more things because that's like the visualization part. And I could obviously go deeper, but I really want to tell us all that we are godzillionaires. We are billionaires. And we so often forget that, but I would just do like a daily assessment of my worth, like knowing that I wouldn't sell my eyes for $10 million or my eyebrows or my lips or my heart. And I would go on and on until I was worth $1 billion. So I'm at the hot springs, like, you know, putting my legs up at the wall at a yoga class. But if I'm going to go out into the world, I am going out as a godzillionaire or a billionaire.
Yeah.
And anyone that I am talking to, especially because the health is our wealth. So that part is like a huge piece. I'm knowing that, like, is it worth it? Is this even this energy exchange? Like, I do trust the people that come up to me and see like, what is dear universe? Why is this person coming up to me? What is this teaching? I see everyone as a teacher. I stay open to what is, but I also am always knowing my value. And at times I'm liquidizing that value. And so money will come and go, but the faith and your vision should gets to have like waves of as much clarity as possible. And when in doubt, you know, look within. And that's what we could be doing on a daily.
Yeah. I love that includes like the collaboration between you and the universe. Cause I feel like where a lot of people go wrong and where I found myself going wrong with manifestation is when you get so set on something that's not in alignment with that. And you're like, I want this and I'm going to force this. And then that becomes attachment and suffering, which is not, like, it's not helpful to you. So there is a subtle difference there between being really attached to something that you want that may not be coming from a good place or may not actually even be in your best interest. So I like that it's getting specific, but once you've kind of allowed the being in tune with what where you're being guided to, and then that's kind of the flow that takes you into where you're supposed to be.
Yeah,
I like
totally.
That.
Yeah, you don't want to be like, this is how it's going to be. We can't. Yeah. We're not God. We're not like there's can be a lot of mystical pride, especially as you start to manifest. Like everything I put my mind to, it will be. So we have to work on the connection of like what makes my heart beat faster. I think that's really important. Like follow your passion. There's always the other stuff, like just in school, right? We liked art class, but we didn't like geometry. Or that was me. Maybe some people like geometry, sorry. But, you know, they say to focus 80% of your life on your strengths and 20% on your weaknesses. So you're going to still do those things. You're going to have to pay your bills and do the mundane. And in fact, find an expression of divinity in the mundane, like in learning about those things. Yeah. And yeah, if you're attached to like what you think you're writing, and it's like, I always put out that allow it to be better than, guide me to do your will. Like, how is it that I can show up and be of service? And then I like the collaboration and the openness, because it could be even better than we imagine. It could be, but you're at least headed in the right direction. And then knowing that you have to be in action, like it's not going to be a delivery man that... Unless, I mean, your soulmate might not be the delivery man who shows up at the door. You might have to go out. Like, that could happen in your exercise class or your poetry reading or the class you take on film or the vision envisioning class or even in the 21 DSC with the group community. There is a co-collaboration that happens with the universe. And I think it's interesting when people, I can really relate to that. Like, in school, I was one of those people that, I could be pretty ambitious and like do things on my own. And I'd be like, you guys are just taking too long. Let me do it. And that is just nothing. That is just not the way. Yeah. Like the best way is to be able to work as a team and like know what everyone's strengths are. And no one is going to be the same. Not everyone is an activator. There's strategists. There are the accountants. There are the people that are good with the structure. And together we can create something. And it's usually what I'm finding right now is that it's like right there. It starts with the transformation of our own heart and make sure that there's not the virus that is anger and depression and being a victim and kind of blaming the world. First, we have to start by being in responsibility, being in this vibration of love, learning actually how to love, and then realizing that there's already an orbit of an interconnectedness of the universe right around you to create exactly what you're here to create. And that if we can line up with that truth, it can all be one and the same. And like the universe really does exist within. And when we think it's out there, we can't shift things. But I also am understanding right now that so above is so below. So to respect what is at your, you know, cleaning your house and not thinking that's not spiritual, for instance, accepting the things like scheduling or the worms and the bees, like it's just everywhere. It's in the mundane. And so that is going to tap you in to the creative forces of manifestation, and also prayer. Like let's not like prayer, allowing that to actually align and connect. And you'll find all of a sudden there'll be these waves that you'll take. Like I know you're a surfer, like, or like, let's say you get on it. You got to know sometimes when to hop on like a shooting star and just ride it. It's not going to be like a constant shooting star forever, but you ride a wave and then you catch another one. And that's, my life has been a series of catching shooting stars and comments and some waves and crashing and burning out. And like, and it's also important to be comfortable with the death process, because that's the cycle of nature, and to not hold on and grip and be like, okay, I'm going to let that go. I'm going to let this part dissolve. Because in order for there to be the birth of the eternal spring and the new garden, the old has to go away. So change, you know, and just going back to what you received and what I'm also hearing from myself is like, be open, you know, be open and allow, invite, surrender to the bigger picture, even along with your envision. Your vision.
Yeah. I love that. Wow. That's so good. Well, the last thing I always like to ask everybody is if I told you everybody in the world was listening to you right now, and you could tell them one thing, what would you tell them?
Love now.
I love it. It's good. Yes, that's the most important thing. That's so good. So,
how many people have said that though? Everyone?
No, it's always different. That's why I love it. It really goes to the core of what people feel like their message is or what. So that's why I always love to ask that. But so what's next for you? What's What's coming up for Rainbow Mars?
Well, what's next is June 2nd, June 23rd. I hadn't been working because I went through like a death and a rebirth myself, and I haven't been able to serve outwardly. I've been doing a lot of restructuring inwardly. So this next cleanse that we are sharing has 12 really cool guest speakers. We have a motivational speaker, you know, Prince Iyo, I think his name is. Prince Iyo. He's like a hip hop artist and such a high vibration. We've got Moby, who's an environmental activist, Shannon Elizabeth, an actress, Nicole Dershway, who went to Cordon Bleu and is a vegan chef, Etef, who was a gangster to gardener. He teaches gardening in schools. I should go on. Darren Olean has a show coming out with Zac Efron on Netflix. He's a superfood hunter. Kevin Reyes is a number one martial artist. I want to make sure I get everyone in there. Obviously, Brigitte Mars and Jade Mars, the newest teacher of the Mars family, just graduated from yoga teacher training, so she's really excited to serve. She'll be supporting. And we also have... I know there's one person that I'm missing, but it's just a really good way to learn how to live together in our most vibrant, healthy, healing self. I also started a residency at Liberate Hollywood where I'm teaching about inner alchemy, which is really exciting because I'm basically teaching what I'm a little bit vulnerable to share about, which is really turning lead to gold in our own self and cracking open our own hearts and learning about sexual alchemy, the Ida, the Pingala, the Shishumna. I remember my teacher, I went to him, said, teach me the real yoga, because I had years and years of teaching and apprenticing through Ashtanga and Vinyasa Flow and Iyengar. And when I said, teach me about Shishumna, he goes, Rainbow, that's a little esoteric for me. How about you teach it and I'll come? Mm-hmm. And it's sometimes they say, like, do what makes you scared. And so I'm doing the cleanse, like that's my go-to safety, because that's how I can manifest. What my bigger picture, if you don't know, is I'm an actor, a writer, a producer, a creator, many things, but there's this show called Sisters of Seven that I've been starting to write, but my main goal will be to write 2 to 3 hours every day, especially doing this cleanse and having the motivation from the speakers. Kevin Paris is the amazing singer who's coming on. It's having, like, how do we follow our muse? How do we follow our heart? How do we obviously be our healthiest healthy, to be our wealthiest wealthy, so that we can do whatever makes our heart beat faster. Mm-hmm. Because if you're not following your heart, eventually your heart is going to stop leading and guiding. And it's so important that you listen to your muse. And I encourage us all to, like, yes, have our planet taken care of. I work also, we guide people with essential oils and nutrition and health. And in fact, you can even do the cleanse for free if you get a kit. And I'm so excited about that, because I could cry again when I say I love the earth so much that if I'm, like, not doing what I can do to help, like, be a custodian for her and teaching this to the next generation, I am, like, not in service. So to be able to have that as a ground, sort of a first floor elevator, may we all be supporting the earth in all the ways that we can and protecting the environment in our homes and in our garden. May we all do that, and then also allow what it is that we are great at, whether you're an entrepreneur or you're a musician or you're an artist or you're a singer or a painter or an accountant, have that be something that you do and bring joy and happiness into your life. And I hope everyone finds the love of their life and learns that the practice of loving another partner is one of the greatest gifts as far as awakening, allowing love to transform us. It's like having, in the yoga system, we say, you know, we have the eight limbs, and there's finally dharana and dhyana, which means focus. Like, let's say that's love, and then one pointed focus, which is dhyana, and then samadhi, which is enlightenment. So to go through this, and the first ones, the yamas and the niyamas, is about your personal ethics, your social ethics, your internal cleanliness, and then it's your breathing, your asanas, and at the end, so love is part of it, or at least the one pointed focus. So having, loving yourself enough to then focus on your divine, like, reflection, that's going to be a way to kill more, or let's call it, say it, dissolve more of that which is making us sick. Because we all need to learn how to love. And thinking that we have mastered love when you're kind of watching Netflix on the couch and eating potato chips might not have something to bump up against. Same thing with yoga. You need a reference point. And when you really have, like, true love, it's going to activate where you still haven't found love. You can do that with yourself and with your family, but I still want to invite us to have that like as a goal to really love, go down, dive into the rabbit hole and learn. May we learn that together. So that's about what I'm up to.
Awesome. That's amazing. So where can people, if they are interested in joining the cleanse or getting a kit and learning more about aromatherapy, where can they reach out to you to find out more information about that?
Thank you. It's all on the rainbowmars.com website. My name is spelled R-A-I-N-B-E-A-U. You can just sign up for the cleanse by doing /cleanse. If you want to get a kit, you could go to the I Live Oil branch. There's a lot of information on that. I'm on most of the social media platforms, so you could follow me and on Instagram or whatever. And finally, info@rainbowmars.com if you have direct questions.
Perfect.
Thanks for asking.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
This was so, I learned so much, and I hope everybody got something out of that as much as I did. And it was so good to have you
here.
Thank you. I'm joining that cleanse. You sold me. I'm like, that sounds amazing.
Thank you for your patience and support and acceptance.
Yeah, of course.
And I hope I didn't ramble too much, but
it's
exciting.
It was amazing.
Yay.
I loved it.
Awesome.
Thank you. Thank you guys so much for listening. This podcast is brand new, so if you have any suggestions for people you want to hear me interview or concepts that you want to hear me talk about, let me know on social media. I'm really excited about this podcast, and I would love to know where you would like to see it go. But while I build it up, if you're hungry for more MetaMoon, you can check out my YouTube channel for poetry and inspirational videos. And have a beautiful day. Remember that you are safe, you are loved, and you have everything you need within you.